Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Chaim Hillowitz. Maseches Sota has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel Le'ilui Nishmas, Ephraim Eliyahu Ben Yosef and Chana Bas Shmuel Halevi.
Sota Daf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara at the top of Daf Lamed Zayin and Aleph relates, according to the Tanakhama, how Sheva Ben Yamin had wanted to jump into the Yam Tchila, and Sari Yehuda were rogmim oisam bavonim, that they were stoning them and not letting them go in. And lefikach zacha bin Yamin v'nasa ushpischon legevura. And that means, as Rashi explains, that bin Yamin was zocha, that in their chelek in Eretz Yisrael, the base kodesh kedoshim was built. Tosavis in Divrei Maaseh V'Hayu quotes a brisa, which gives a mashal for this event, the debate that was between Yehuda and bin Yamin. The mashal is to a king who had two sons, one who was older and more and stronger, and one who was younger. He asked the younger son to wake him up at daybreak, at sunrise, and then he asked the older son to wake him up at Gimel Shalis, 3 hours into the day. And the Katan did as he was asked, and he came and tried to wake up the king at sunrise, and the Gadol didn't want to let the Katan wake up the king, because after all, he had been asked to wake up the king not at sunrise, but at Gimel Shalis. And as a result of the heated debate that ensued between the Katan and the Gadol, the king in fact woke up, and he told both of his sons, both of you had kavanah to be mechabed me, and therefore both of you will receive schar. That's the mashal. And the nimshal to this is the debate between Binyamin and Yehuda as to whether they should jump into the yam or not. And the Tosefta that Tosus quotes concludes that they both received a schar as a result of their maisim. Binyamin received the schar, as Agamar says, that they had the shechina bechelko, and Yehuda received the schar of malchus. As we know, that Yehuda is the Melech, David is the seed of Malchus. Now the Nitziv in the Merome Sada explains the Omek of the Mashal and the Nimshal to the story that the Tosis brings and the debate between Yehuda and Binyamin. He says that Binyamin and Yehuda had a fundamental debate how it was that this Neish should be brought about at the time of Kiryas Yamsuf. He says that anyway, the Pesukim or Mashma, that there was a Ruach which was coming in and blowing the water away, and eventually the Ruach would have succeeded in drying out the entire Yamsuf, and even though certainly this would be a nace, but the nace would be more nistar, it would be more hidden, and more cloaked in Derech HaTeva. Certainly there was Hashkacha Pratis at Dafka at this moment. The Ruach came and dried out the Yam for the benefit of Bnei Israel, but it wouldn't be such an overt, obvious sign of Shinui HaTeva like there was if Hashem was Bokeh the Yam, that Imamish split the water and made it in two walls around Bnei Israel. And Binyamin felt that it's better to demonstrate the godliness of Hashem, Hashem's hand in intervening in nature by Kilu Kaviyochel forcing Hashem's hand, by jumping in, and making that Hashem will not be able to let the Nes come about through more hidden, more cloaked means, by having the Ruach dry out the Yam, but rather that Hashem should have to perform a more overt Nes to save Sheva Binyamin after they had jumped in, that he would have to, Kaviyochel, split the yam to save them, and therefore it would be clear to everyone that Hashem's hand was involved. Whereas Yehuda felt that it was better for the teva to cloak the nes. There should be a hashkacha pratis that would be evident to anyone who wanted to see, but it should be cloaked in the disguise of teva and the facade of a natural nes, and that was in order to show that even the teva is at the beck and call of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that even he can use natural forces, as it were, to do his will when he pleases and as he chooses. That is the opinion of Yehuda. And this is similar to the mashal that Nisib explains, because, as we know, the Gemara in Brachas tells us that it's the derech of Melachim to awaken at Gimel Shois. That's kilu the teva of the Melech, that he should wake up at Gimel Shois. And that's what he told the Ben HaGadol, who's dumi to Yehuda. Yehuda was a stronger, bigger Shevet. He's like the Ben HaGadol in the mashal. And that's what that kilu the Melech told the Ben HaGadol, that he should be woken at 3 hours. That's the time of the Teva. The Teva of the Melech is to wake at 3 hours. Whereas the Ben HaKotan, that symbolizes Binyamin, there the Melech told the Ben HaKotan to wake him at Netz, and that is something which is lo kederech HaTeva, that's something which is something out of the ordinary, different from the normal schedule of the Melech keeps. And that's the mashal that the Tos is reflecting in the debate between Binyamin and Yehuda, whether or not it was better to portray this Netz through extra natural means, and that was what Binyamin's opinion was, or no, to use natural means to show the Hashkacha that Hashem took care of Bnei Yisrael, to show that the Teva as well does the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And as far as the Schar, why each Shevet received the Schar that they were meant to receive for this Maisa. So as Tosfos mentioned, Yehuda received Malchus, and Yehuda was only to get Malchus. He was the natural shoe-in for the king, for kingdom, and that's why he received, because he defended Kilo the Derech HaTeva, that Hashem's hand in Teva should be maintained and preserved. So therefore, he received that which was Tivi for him, that which was natural for him to receive. That was the Malchus, that was the Schar he received for this Maisa. Whereas Binyamin, who was advocating that Hashem should show Nisim in a overt, extraordinary way, something that goes beyond the Nisim HaNistarim and becoming a Nisim HaMefursamim, Nisim HaGluyim, that's what Binyamin was zochet to have in his chelek, the Shechina, the Makom Beis HaMikdash, where, as we know, the mission of us tells us, every day, many Nisim were performed. That's the Midik Nekin Mida in the Schar that Dish Tushvatim received in trying to advocate how the Nes should be performed, how they could bring more Kavod to Hashem and more Kiddushim Shemayim in the way the Nes could be brought about. In the Hemshech of the Gemara relates how Moshe Rabbeinu was Bash'os HaShoh HaYam Marech B'Tfila. He was standing Al Hayam, and he was pleading the case of Bnei Yisrael that they should be saved from all the obstacles which lay around them. They had in one side the Yam, and the other side the Mitzrim who were chasing them, and on the two other sides, as Chazal tells us elsewhere, there were Chayos Ro'os who were not letting them flee. And Hashem responded to Moshe, rather, don't worry, everything's in my hand. Everything that needs to be done, I will take care of. Now, this Gemara seems to be astonishing. Normally, we as Jews know that the time of Tzara, the time when we need a Yeshua, so we stand and daven in front of the Baruch Shalom and plead our case that he should have Rachem and bring him Yeshua. What is this Mahalach Hashem tells the Moshe? Yedidai tovim eyam va'ata marach b'tfila. Yeah, that's l'chora the best thing to do. That's l'chora. This is the most opportune thing to do, to plead the case, to be marach b'tfila at a time when Israel are in trouble, when they have seemingly nowhere else to turn. What is it Hashem tells them? No, da'ber b'nei sovi. So they just should travel. I'll take care of everything. What's the Mahalach that Hashem was telling him? So I saw an amazing thing from Moshe Shapira, Shlita, in the Sefer Afike Mayim and Pesach. There it's brought down that he explains as follows. That the Pesukim and Parashas B'Shalach describe how Paro chased Bnei Yisrael and caught them chonim al hayam. They were encamped on the shores of Yam Suf, and Mitzrayim encroached upon them and threatened them and closed in on them, and Bnei Yisrael were scared, and that's when they davened to Hashem. And as Chazal tells us as well, on the sides, there were chayos ro'os, threatening animals. They were not letting Am Yisrael escape to the sides. Now, l'chora, the tefillah, the content of the tefillah that they were being soek, the smashin, the psukim already, is that Hashem should save them from the Mitzrim who were closing in on them and should somehow allow them to defeat them and do away with the Mitzrim. However, the fourth side, the side that was behind Bnei Yisrael, the encampment was on the shores of Yam Suf, that side of Yam Suf, to go into the water, that was lo'ol al daitam. That bepashtus wasn't even part of their tefillah, b'chlau. The tefillah was from these natural threats that they saw in front of them, the Mitzrim in front of them, and the sides, the animals, but the behind them, the Yam, that they had no tzad, that their tefillah should ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to do anything about. Right, that's l'chara, a natural phenomenon which no human, no matter what circumstances are, can survive going through. And it was simply a non-option for them to try to go and save themselves through the Yam Suf by continuing down through into the Yam. And that's what Hashem told Moshe, that no, that Daber Bnei Yisrael v'Yisrael lo eis ata laharach b'tfila, that now, l'chora, it's not the time to engage in tefillah, because tefillah is pleading, is asking for Yeshua in the normal ways which we think that Hashem should save us. We think we have a certain threat, there's something which is closing in on us, something which is making it difficult for us to be successful. Hashem should remove all the obstacles, remove all the impediments, and allow us to go to freedom and have Yeshua. But to change nature, to step into a situation which normally, even if we're not under duress, under threat, wouldn't be able to handle, wouldn't be able to go into the Yam, that our tefillos usually do not include, do not ask Hashem to be Mishana the Teva and to remove an obstacle which is befashus, anyway Nimsa, in the Teva of the Olam. And just as much as Bnei Yisrael's tefillah then also did not include this tzad, this possibility of Hashem doing something to the Yam. And that's what Hashem told Moshe, no. The Be'er B'nei Sov Yisrael, you're now entering, you now have to learn that the whole process of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yam Suf is teaching you, you've entered an entire new Gilui, that there's a revelation going on over here that Hashem is Mishana the entire Bria, that Hashem can do that which He pleases with the Bria, and your tefillos don't have any makom over there. That's a place where usually tefillos do not. We don't come and daven to say change the teva, make a nes nigla. No, daven Yisrael b'Yisrael, tell them to go into the yam. That side is open for them. You're afraid. You see that the yam isn't an option for you. Why do you think that? Haray teva doesn't really exist, as Ramban says, end of Parshas Bo. That everything that Yisrael Mitzrayim is meant to tell us is that there's a new gilui, that Hashem is really pulling the strings behind everything. And therefore, what seems to be an impossibility to go into the yam, and that's the way we can escape that which is threatening us, is really the best way of escape, the best option. And that's what Hashem told Moshe, Dabra when Yisrael, lo es ata laharach b'tfila, the normal halach of tfila, to ask for Yeshua from the normal threats that we think, these are the things which are bothering us, let's ask Hashem to save us on those things. But no, now at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem wants to be Megala to Klal Yisrael, an entire new hanhaga, an entire new way of dealing with the world, of showing them how He's Mashana the Teva, and therefore He told them that tefillah is not the appropriate way of responding, simply to trust in Hashem and continue on into the Yam, Ki'ilu, it's Yabasha, and be Boteach in Hashem, that Hashem is going to take care of the rest, as our Gemara says, that Hashem will put everything on Himself, Kaviyachol, and make sure that Bnei Yisrael are safe. So that's the Mahalach, beautiful idea that I saw from Moshe Shapiro to explain that now Hashem wanted to teach them a new lesson in Hanhaga, and therefore, in fact, Tefillah was not the appropriate response. Tefillah usually relates to the threats that we see in front of us, the impediments that seem to be under natural circumstances, that which is preventing us from being successful. And there was lo'olal daitam to daven, that they should be tzayek in order to Hashem to do a nes in the yam. The yam is simply something which is in the world. Hashem is teaching them, no, that even though it's not in your tefillos, but now I'm taking over, I am showing how this hanhaga is in my hands, and I'm going to be mishana the teva, and therefore daber b'nei sov yiso, they should go into the yam, because Hashem, at His whim, can change the yam into yabasha, and make it possible for B'nai Yisrael to survive and escape through the yam. The Gemara Debana of Amud Aleph begins to describe the exact content of the Kabbalah's bris that B'nai Yisrael were mekabel at Har Gerizim and Har Evel, and it says at the bottom line that each bris really included four facets on each mitzvah. Like it says, Lilmod v'lelame lishmar v'laso. As Rashi explains, it's Meduk and Psukim and Parshas Kisavo, that B'nai Yisrael were told to learn, to teach, to be shomer, and to do all the Tariq mitzvahs, and that was the content of the bris. They were mekabel, as the Gemara is mavur in the Hemshech. But just to explain Pashav Sham the Gemara, what does it mean, Lishmar Velasos? So the Rasha in the Chidush HaGadois, he points out that L'chara, even though normally we're used to identifying Lishmar in conjunction with Lavim, as the Gemara says, whenever it says Shmor, it is a mitzvah lo saseh, and Asiyah, but Pashas would be Mashma, mitzvah aseh, that's Lasos. In our context, we can't possibly define the word Lishmar Velasos in that way, because as our Gemara says, all of these four facets were true in all of the Tariq mitzvahs. Bein if there are los aseis, bein if there were aseis. And therefore, in each of the mitzvahs, we need both a facet of lishmor and a facet of lasos. We can't only have shmira in los aseis and asiya in aseis. We must have both shmira and asiya, both in los aseis and in aseis. And hence, the Masha explains differently that the pshat in the word shmir here has nothing to do with los aseis, but it has to do with that which Chazal said many times, that shmira zu mishnah. That the way to be shomer divrei Torah is to be chosur them, to be mishana them again and again. That's the lashon of mishnah, the lashon sheni, to learn it a second time, to learn it many times, and that's reinforcing the limud. That's the first of the brisim, is limud v'lelamed. Then afterwards comes the stage of shmira. That the way to be shomer it, is that one should not forget it, that should be shagar b'piv, is to review it. That's the lashon of mishnah, to make sure that the divrei Torah become part of us. And as the Chazal tells elsewhere, that the way to bring a limud lidei maisa, to make sure that which we learn brings itself out in the maisa that we do, is through mishnah, is through chazara. That's a lashon of mishnah, of shmir and argimar, to be shomer befinu, be shomer befanenu, to make sure that we hold on to it. And that's true both for aseis and for losaseis, even for aseis, that inyan obviously is relevant. And the lashon of asir here doesn't just mean to perform the mitzvahs in the sense of doing the positive mitzvahs aseh, but it means to be mekayim the mitzvahs, and that's what Chazal say elsewhere, the lasos, the zu maisa, to do the maisa mitzvahs, bein if they relate to los aseh, to stay away from that which we're not supposed to do, bein if they relate to aseh, to do the mitzvahs in their sense, the way they're supposed to be mekayim, that's what the bris, they're mekabal themselves to do a shmirah, that means to do a mishnah, to have a seder chazara on all the tarik mitzvahs, and to have an asiyah, to make sure that that mishnah led towards ma'aseh, they were mekayim mitzvahs, and whatever was demanded of them, benefit was a los asay, benefit was an asay. In connection with this, I also wanted to quote the famous words of the Eglei Tal in his Hagdama to his Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos. He's medayik in our Gemara, the fact that each one of the Tariag mitzvahs had within it not only the fasted of Shmira v'asiyah, as we pointed out, but also the inyan of Lomad v'lelamed, that part of the etzim kabbalah of the mitzvahs was to learn the inyanim of the mitzvahs, was to be involved in the Torah, the divrei Torah that lies behind the halachas of all the mitzvahs, and to spread that Torah, that's the inyan of being melamed others. And the Eglei Tal says, therefore, he derives from this, the same way that when it comes to the Maisa mitzvahs, there are certain mitzvahs which are more chamurim, there are certain mitzvahs which have kares attached to them, certain mitzvahs which have mises basin attached to them. So by the same token, the Eglei Tal says, the limit of those mitzvahs also becomes more choshev, the same way the Torah attached more importance, more chashivas, and a bigger onesh to the Maisa of those inyanim, of those mitzvahs. Similarly, the limit of those mitzvahs as well has more importance, has more chashivas. And that's when the Eglei Tal writes, that because Shabbos is such a davar chamor, someone who's mechal Shabbos receives misa, so by the same token, someone who's lomed the inyanim of Shabbos, it can rest assured that he's being lomed something very chashiv. The Torah put the asiyah, the shmira and the asiyah of Shabbos, such a high priority that it attached with such a chamor thing. So similarly, the chalokim of lomud of alalamid that relate to Shabbos as well are extremely chamor, extremely chashiv. As the Eglei Tal writes, Kashem Sheshmira Shabbos Shakol Kechola Mitzvos, no Chazal tell us that the Maisa of keeping Shabbos is Shakol Kamal Kechola Mitzvos, Kein Lilmoid Velilamed Hilcha Shabbos, Shakol Kelilmoid Velilamed Bechola Mitzvos. A person in Ki'ilu is being Osek in all Mitzvos when he's Osek in the Limud of Hilcha Shabbos. And we say in Musaf, the davening, the Nusach of the Chazal or Metakein, Vigam Ha'oavim Dvareha Gedula Becharu. Those who love the halachas of Shabbos, the inyanim of Shabbos, which, as we know, are very difficult and involve halachas of Shabbos, gedula b'charu, they've chosen greatness. And I feel Eglei Tal is very moved on why this is true, because the halakim of the brisos on the mitzvah that the bris that Argamar describes of lumul lamed, is equated to the bris of lishmar v'lasos, the same way the asiyah and the shmir of Shabbos is extremely important and extremely chamor. Similarly, the limit of the halachas of Shabbos Yishakol connected kol mitzvahs and is extremely chashuv and important. The Gemara in the Hemshech on Amud Beis brings the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva how exactly the mitzvahs were given over during different stages throughout the Midbar. Rabbi Akiva says, klolos u'protos nemru b'sinai, that both the klolim and the protim of the mitzvahs were set at Sinai, v'nishnu ba'al moed, v'nishtal shalu b'arvas moed. And they were set again at al moed and then set a third time in Arvas Mov. Now, two things in this Gemara which need to be here. First of all, what does it mean, klolos u'pratos? What is the difference between the klal and the prat of the mitzvos? And second of all, what was the need for the repetition of these brisim that were said again at Ol Moed and again at Arvas Mov? Regarding the first question, the definition of what does it mean, klolos u'pratos, the Rambam, in his Hakdama to Pirshin Mishnayis, the beginning of Seder Zroim, describes Stam, an important idea to understand how it was that Torah Shebaal Peh developed based on the Yudgimel Middos, which were given to Moshe. And what is the difference between something which is learned from Yudgimel Middos as opposed to which is something identified as a halacha, l'Moshe Misinai? The Rambam writes that we know that there are certain drachim, there are certain ofanim which were given to Moshe as accepted ways of darshining psukim, of finding remazim, of finding asmachtos and rayos from psukim to be masbir halachos and to be motzi chidushe dinim, which we find all over Divrei Chazal. And we find machlokas about these issues all over, that there are different tanoim and different chachamim who derive different halachos in different ways and therefore arrived at different conclusions sometimes. This is not to say, says the Rambam, that there was a mistake, that there was a forgetting of the Mesorah. Bevadai, that whenever things were subject to a Mesorah, there was no machlokas about what the Mesorah was. And he gives an example. For example, the one in Sukkah has an entire discussion. What does it mean when the Torah commands us to take a pre-Eitz Hadar? What kind of pre are we meant to take on the first day of Sukkot? The Rambam says, certainly, there's no question that they had a Mesorah, that it was an Esrog, and there's no doubt that until the sugya of Chazal was recorded, that it was long resolved, long ago from the time of Moshe and Yeshua, that the Esrog was, in fact, the pre that the Torah was referring to. All that the Chachamim and Chazal were debating was how do we find a remez in the Pasuk of Pri Etz Hadar that the Torah was in fact referring to an Esrog, and that's where each Tana, each Hamorah, had his own ma'alach, had his own way of saying this is the remez, this is the diak, this is the mashmaos, as to why Pri Etz Hadar should in fact be referring to an Esrog and not something else. And that's what we find. The Gemara, in fact, is Havmina that perhaps we should say Pri Etz Hadar means something else, means a different type of Pri, not because we would change the Mesorah Chas V'Shalom to say that, in fact, the Torah meant to have a different Pri, but the Gemara is simply considering the possibilities of how we could understand the Psukim, the way they're written, based on the Darkei HaDrashas, the Darkei HaYudgilomitos, which were Nimser to us to be Mochiach, what the Torah had in mind. But certainly there was no question about the Mesorah. And the Rambam gives a list of examples about these things that we find machlokas and Chazal about things which certainly had a Mesorah on them. What the Torah meant, the entire point of machlokas was to debate how we can apply Yudgel Midos to derive from the Pesukim themselves, derive from the Torah Shebichsav, that which Torah Sheval Peh already had told us. And this light, the Rambam defines what Argamara means when it says that the Klolos and the Protos were Nemra V'Sinai. It means all of the inyonim of the mitzvos and the way to derive the mitzvos. The klal and the prat means the way in which we derive all of the midos of the Torah, and that's one of the Yud Gimel midos is the klal of prat, and as Rambam says, the Gemara means not only the klal of prat, but it means all the Yud Gimel midos. These midos were given at Sinai, and we know, we have a Kabbalah, that all of the Yud Gimel midos were in fact given to Moshe Rabbeinu, that it was nimsad to the Chacham Yisrael to utilize these ofanim of Darshanim Sukkim, finding Ramazim, finding Mashmoyos, what the Torah meant. Again, not to change the Mesorah, but to have a way in which to understand the Pesukim, to understand the Ramazim of how the Pesukim meant to tell us that which the Mesorah already had told us. And then the Rambam defines for us that whenever there was no way to utilize these Ofanim of the Yudgel Midos, to find a Remez in the Mikra, to find any Kesher from any Pesuk that would suggest an idea, and that it was Halacha Moshe Misinai. Halacha Moshe Misinai was something which was not said by Klal Prat. It was said as a direct Mesorah, this is the way it is, and there is no way to derive this idea from a Pasuk. And even when, the Rambam says famously, we have an Asmachta for things which are Halacha Moshe Misinai, as the Gemara, for example, says that the Inyanim of Shi'urim, the amount that we need for all the mitzvahs, in fact, we have Kezayis, so all the Shi'urim, is in fact halacha moshe misinai. The Gemara says in Erevin and in Sukkah that shiurim halacha moshe misinai. The Gemara still said that the pasuk of Eretz Chito Sa'ura is an asmachta for the shiurim. The Gemara explains how each of the shiurim is based on a asmachta from the pasuk of Eretz Chito Sa'ura to be merames two different inyonim of different shiurim of different mitzvos. But it's only an asmachta. Ram says it's simply a way of remembering. A way she no davniska, a mnemonic, as it were, to know what the shirim are. But in essence, once something gets the label of halacha moshe misinai, the Rambam says that means that there is no way of using the Yudgel Midos to darshan from any pasuk. There is no remez in the mikra that this is in fact the case. And whenever there's simply an asmachta, all that means is there is a tiskorat, a mnemonic, to remember that which the halacha moshe misinai anyway told us. Now, as Yadua, the Ritva and Rosh Hashanah takes issue with this Rambam and says that's not the case, and Asmachta really is a remez in the Pasuk to what the Rabbanan said, to what we have in Halacha Moshe Misinai. But that's the opinion of the Rambam. So the Rambam, in essence, is defining for us three terms. One is the term of Ar Gemara. Ar Gemara says the Klolos and the Protos and Nemra B'Sinai. The Rambam takes that to mean the Yudgel Midos, the Drachim from which to be Motzi from the Pesukim to arrive at what the Kavanos and Mitzvos were, to see how from the Kra, from the scripture, from the written Torah itself, we can see that which the Torah meant. The second term the Rambam defined for us is Halacha Moshe Misinai, and that means, according to the Rambam, something which is not subject to Machloka, something which was a direct Mesorah, that there was no way to derive that from Pesukim, to use Yudgel Midos to have a Remez, such a thing, to have a Raya from to such an idea in the Pasuk, and that's why it gets the label of Halacha Moshe Misinai, and the Rambam says that we do not mix the two, that only things which are not Halacha Moshe Misinai is, do we have Ramazim, do we have Rayas from Pesukim, and that's where we have Machlokas, Rambam says, but in Halacha Moshe Misinai, there is a Mesorah, which, as Rambam told us, there is no Machlokas about, that certainly was agreed upon. That's Rambam's opinion, that in Halacha Moshe Misinai, there is no Machlokas. And the third term, the term of Asmachta, the Rambam says, it does not mean that there's actually remez in the Pasuk to suggest the idea which is learned out as a halacha mashmi Sinai or as a din d'rabbanon, but rather it's simply a remez ba'alma, it's simply a tizkoret, a mnemonic, as a way of remembering that which the rabbanon said, or that which the halacha mashmi Sinai said anyway was a misora, but it's not actually from the inyan of the pasuk, it's not the kavan of the pasuk to be merame, it's to be mashma, such a thing. That's only things which are not halacha mashmi Sinai, and that's not only things which are not d'rabbanons, but rather things which the Torah was moser to us a way of defining them based on the Yudgal Amidos. So that's the opinion of the Rambam in the Hakdamah to Pirush Mishnayos of Seder Zrayim, and the Shlah brings this and says about this Divrei HaRambam, Divrei Pi Chacham Chein Usvasayim Yishok. He's very pleased with the Divrei HaRambam about this issue. Now, as far as the other question, what was the need for the repetition of these brisos so many times? We have it both in Sinai, as the Gemara says, and then in Ol Moed and again in Arvis Moed. What was the progression of all these in Yonim? So I found in the Meshev Dover Tshuva, and then it's Siv, where he explains what the three inyanim were. He says there are really three chalakim of Torah, that which is comprised of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. And that is the three types of brisos which Argamar describes. First of all, there was Sinai. At Sinai, there was what he calls Seder HaMikra, the basic sukkim, the basic text of the Torah, with the attendant halachas which came out from it. And then in Ol Moed, they had what he calls Seder HaMishnah. That's what the Gemara in Erevin describes, the way that Moshe Rabbeinu reviewed and taught in Israel all of the halachos, all of the mitzvos, and there's a whole process in which he taught it to Aaron, and then taught it to Elazar v'Itamar, etc., as the Gemara in Erevin tells us. And that process of Mesiras HaTorah derech Mishnah, derech review, was given at Ol Moed. That's what the Gemara means when it says that it was in the Ol Moed. And the third bris, the third level of the Mesiras HaTorah from Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Yisrael in Arvas Moav, as the Argamar describes, that's what he calls the Seder HaTalmud. That's the three levels, Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. And Talmud is the Derech HaPilpul, as the Gemara in Nedarim says, that lo nitna pilpula shel Torah ela l'Moshe, that really Moshe was the one who received the pilpula shel Torah, the way of deriving not only the halachos, but how it is that we derive those halachos, to be mafalpel and to bring rayos back and forth, to argue, to debate, to bring chidushe dinim. That was really something which was given as a gift to Moshe. And then Moshe says, Noeg ba tovas ayin unisternal Yisrael. The Moshe was pleasant and nice to Bnei Yisrael and decided to give them over Pipula Shav Torah. That, in itself says, was the bris that was Nichras and the Messiah Shav Torah at Arvis Moav that Moshe Rabbeinu not only taught them, reviewed with them the Torah Shav Chsav, and the mitzvahs of Torah Shemal Peh, but he also was moser to them at Arvis Moav, the Pupula Shal Torah, the Seder HaTalmud, that's the Gemara that we have, the Inyan, the Ofen of Torah Shemal Peh, that not only do we not have the Mishnayos, we have a Gemara which debates and questions and breaks things down, tries to arrive at conclusions and defines machlokism, etc. That all that was given in Arvis Moav. That was the third level of Mesiras HaTorah. And then it proves in the Pesukim how this is true, that this is the last level of Torah, the level of Esek, of Pilpul of HaTorah, which is given in Arvis Moav. That's the three levels of progression of Torah. First, Torah Shebichsav, then Torah Shebal Peh, which has the Seder HaMishnah with it, simply the Mishnayos, the way the Mishnayos are constructed. And then finally, the Seder HaTalmud in Arvis Moav, that Moshe gave to Bnei Yisrael, Derech HaPilpul Shel Torah, that Moshe gave as a gift to Bnei Yisrael, which is what we have in our hands now to this day, the Gemara, the Seder HaTalmud, the way in which we analyze and break down all of the Divrei Torah and all of the Divrei HaMishnah. The Gemara in the Hemshech, when it's tallying up the brisos, which Bnei Yisrael were mekabel in themselves and all the mitzvos, in Arvis Moav, and mentions not only did each of the Yidden be mekabel on himself a 48 brisim for each and every mitzvah, but in addition he was mekabel Arvis for all the other 603,550 Jews who are also being mekabel brisim at this time. And the Gemara makes the calculation of how many brisim, in fact, were miskabel idei all of Kal Yisrael. And this, as we know, is the bris of Arvis, which is described in Parshas Nitzavim, that Bnei Yisrael miskabel themselves in Arvis Moav. Now, as we'll see, there is discussion in the Rishonim and much in Nachronim as to whether this Gemara sheds light on the scope of Arvis, because as is mashman our Gemara, only the number, the 603,550 people, were mekabel this bris of Arvis. And this would exclude entire populations of Bnei Yisrael, as we'll see shortly. And as well, as Tosfos and Mavur, Iver Maskel Omer Rav Mesharshia, and in Be'etzem, this is the passage of the Gemara as well, is that this bris of Arvis is only said about the Taryag mitzvahs themselves and nothing beyond that. And we'll see the implications of that shortly. And as we mentioned, there is much discussion in the Achronim with regard to Arvas and people who are not those among 603,550, for example, women, Kohanim and Levim, those under 20, etc. We'll focus on the question of whether or not there's Arvas on Gerim. That's already a question which the Rishonim take up, as we'll see. We'll start with the Gemara in Kiddushin. It's also the Gemara in Nida, the Gemara in Yivamas, which says that Koshin Gerim ki Yisrael ki Sapachas, that Gerim are difficult for Bnei Yisrael as Tzaras. And both Rashi in Nida and Afir Gimel and Tosis and Kiddushin Afayin quote a Yesh Mefarshim, who say the reason for this, that Gerim are so challenging for Bnei Yisrael, is that because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebaze, they were all held responsible for the actions of our fellow man, and Gerim oftentimes their kiyum and dikduk b'mitzvahs is not up to par because they didn't learn, they don't know. And therefore, we're held responsible for the incompleteness of the kiyum and mitzvahs of Gerim, and that's why Gerim are kashin l'Yisrael kisapachas. And both Rashi and Tosas object to this Yesh Mefarshim. They quote our Gemara, they quote Soto Daf Lamed Zayin. They say, look, if you've seen that Gemara there, it's mavur that only the 603,550 people who were constituted the Etzem Bnei Yisrael, and there wasn't the Erev Rab, it wasn't any Gerim who ever added on, it was only them who were Mekabel the Bris of Arvas. And therefore, the truth is, say Rashi and Tosus, we do not have a Bris of Arvas for Gerim. We're not held responsible. There is no klal of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh when it comes to Gerim. That's the kind of the level at this Yesh Mefarshim based on our Gemara. And Tosus in Nida considers a possibility, perhaps the reason why the Gemara didn't speak about the Gerim of the Erev Rav is because it was not known exactly their numbers, and therefore the Gemara chose to discuss a number which was Yidu, which was recorded in the Pasuk. Tosus is mistayeg, he backs down from this answer because it is mevor in the Mechilta that Erev Rav were in fact twice the number of Yotzei Mitzrayim. However, the Toza Rosh in Kiddushin and Anida says that because it wasn't Mefurish Bekra, perhaps that's why the Gemara did not bring down the bris of Erev Rav of Gerim, but the truth is that Gerim, the Gerim of the Erev Rav as well, were Mekabel, the bris of Arvis, and we do have, in fact, the klal of Kol Yisrael Rem Zabazeh with regard to Gerim. So that's the machlokas. There are Mefarshim Chora held that there is a klal of Kol Yisrael Rem Zabazeh with regard to Gerim. However, both Rashi and Tosfos primarily seem to hold that that's not true, and the Radak Argamar, since Argamar only describes the bris of Arvis for the 600,000 Jews and not the Erev Rav who are beyond them, that's Muchach, there is no Bris of Arvas with regard to Gerim. Now some Achronim, especially the Maharit, in his commentary to Kiddushin, Naf Ayin, as well as the Chuvas Zer Avram, which is quoted in the Birka Yosef of the Chidah, in Or HaChaim Sim Kuf Chav Dalet, ask a Davar Tema on Rashi and Tosus. How can Rashi and Tosus possibly say that Gerim do not have the Bris of Arvas and the Medayah give from our Gemara? L'chor, it's against the Mefurashe Gemara in Shvuas Daf Lamed Tes. There the Gemara, the Parshas is discussing this Bris of Arvas that's recorded in Parshas Netzavim. And it's Mefurish in the Gemara that this Bris of Arvas even extended to Gerim. So L'chor, it's Mefurish that Gerim are included in Arvas. How could Rashi and Tosfos possibly maintain that there is no Bris of Arvas with regard to Gerim? And the truth is, this is the Parshas of the Psukim in Parshas Netzavim. There it discusses the Gercha Asher B'Kerv Mechanech are also going to be Nitzav Hayom to be Mekabel the Bris of Arvas. So again, how can Rashi and Tosfos say the Gerim are not included in the Bris of Arvas as well? If we look in the Gemara in the Yivamas, Daf Kuf Tes, the Gemara there also, Bepashas, brings this Memra, the Koshim Gerim L'Yisrael Kisapachas, in conjunction with Arvas. The Gemara is discussing that becoming an Arev for an Ishzar, for someone that you can't trust, that you're taking a risk by becoming his guarantor. And the Gemara compares that to being Mekabel Gerim, that maybe Mekabel Gerim, you're in fact taking a risk, just like an Arev, a guarantor, who doesn't know whether you can trust the person he's backing up is taking a risk. Similarly, when you're Mekabel Gerim, you run the risk of suffering this syndrome of Koshim Gerim L'Yisrael Kisapachas. So again, L'chor, the Pashas of Chazal in several places is not like Rashi and Tosus, that in fact there is a Bris of Arvos on Gerim. So the Maharit there in Kiddushin offers an answer, and this answer is Nogia to other groups of people who have Arvos as well, and that is he's Mechalik whether or not the Gerim are a raven for us, or we are a raven for the Gerim. He says, we are, in fact, are a raven for Gerim. That's what the Gemara in Shavuos and the Gemara in Yevamos that we quoted mean, that we, in fact, are Mekabel Arvas on behalf of Gerim. However, Gerim themselves are not Mekabel Arvas for us, and Gerim do not have the responsibility to see to it that we do mitzvos. And Maharit explains why this would be the case, because since Gerim usually are going to not going to be accepted in society as much because of their status as converts, and they're not going to necessarily have the capacity to be mochiach, to bring to others' attention that they have not been mekayel mitzvah, so they're not going to have that koach. Melo, the Torah was not mechayev them in arvus, and the Marit compares this to Noshim. It's famous, the words of the Russian brachos, and Noshim don't have arvus. Marit there is mechanesh. All the Rosh means is that we don't have, that Noshim don't have arvus for us. So because Noshim don't usually have the capacity to be mochiach, therefore they don't have arvus for men. However, men do in fact have arvus for women. That's what the Marit says, the Rosh means. So that's the yishuv the Marit wants to say to answer the stiras from the Gemara in Shvuas and Gemara in Yevamos. With the Diak, the Rashi and Tosfos make an argumara to say that Gerim does not have arvus, to say that someone two different things. Our Gemara is talking about a dual arvus, where the arvus was made both ways, as our Gemara's mashman, that it was made a joint, two-sided type of agreement that both people enter the bris and they misarif for each other, and that in fact Gerim did not have. Whereas the Gemara in Shavuos and the Gemara in Yevamos was only discussing that we are misarif on behalf of Gerim, however Gerim are not misarif on our behalf. That's the mahalach of the Marit. However, the Tshuva Zera Avram that we quoted earlier takes issue with the Marit. He says, he's medayek the Gemara Shavuos there, that in fact he cannot say this is a pshat, why Gerim would be special, why Gerim would not have arvus, because he's medayek is more there that really anyone who does not have the capacity to be mochiach, he is mismayet from the inyan of arvus. He doesn't have the chiv of arvus because he doesn't have the capability of being mochiach, those around him. And therefore, there's nothing special about Gerim that Rashi and Tosfos would pick about Gerim. It's true for any instance in which someone does not have the capability of being mochiach. That's the dechia which the Zera Avram makes on the Mahalach of the Maharit. And instead, the Zera Avram suggests that we need to reread the Gemara and Shavuos. The Gemara and Shavuos is not saying there's arvos on Gerim. All it's saying is that Gerim are nichlal in the etzim bris of Kabbalah and Mitzvot. That's all the Gemara meant. But the fact that others would be responsible for Gerim, according to Rashi and Tosfos at least, is not the case. That's what our Gemara is mashma, that there is no Kabbalah arvus b'chlal on Gerim, those who are not part of the 603,550. That's the dechia which the Zera Avram wants to make to defend Rashi and Tosfos from this kasha from the Gemara in Shavuos and the Gemara in Yevamos that we quoted. And the psukim in Parash and Savim are not muchach. It could just be that they were there as part of the Kabbalah Sabris, but not necessarily muchach, that they were actually being mekabel the bris of arvus. To that degree, this dechi already is made by the Prima Godim in his Sefer Tevas Gomech, Hakira Dalad, where he discusses this question, whether or not Gerim are in nichol in the bris of arvus. Now, in terms of understanding the Yesh Mefarshim, the day that Rashi and Tosfos came to argue with, that said that Gerim do have arvus, there is an inyan of Kol Yisrael Rim Zeh B'Zeh on Gerim, and Rashi and Tosfos leveled a tain at them from our Gemara, the Gemara's Mashma, that the inyan of arvus is only said with regard to the 603,550 of Bnei Yisrael. So there is a mahalach of the halachas ketanos, which opens up a tremendous sigya, which the Achronim discuss, and that is, until now we've been assuming that the question of arvus, the question of whether or not we have the ability to be mekabel arvus for others, is closely linked, and in fact totally on whether or not we have the chiyav toichacha to them. The chiyav toichacha and the chiyav arvus go together, they are two sides of the same coin. Halachas ketanos suggests perhaps this is not the case. Perhaps we can be mechalek between the chiv of toichacha and the inyan of arvus. It's true that there is no bris of arvus. We were not mekabel the inyan of arvus on Gerim, as our Gemara is mashma. However, the Gemara in Shavuos is not discussing the bris of arvus. The Gemara in Shavuos is discussing whether or not we are held responsible for the maisim of Gerim because we are not able to be mochiach them. And that's what the halachas ketanos says, that this day that explained, kashim Gerim l'Yisrael kesapachas, because we are arevim zeh b'zeh, it means when we fail to fulfill our mitzvah of toichach with regard to Gerim, and this is something which we can understand might happen, people might want to treat Gerim in a softer way and not be mekayem mitzvah of toichach in the fullest sense, then we suffer the consequences of being held responsible for the not doing aveiros. That's all the Gemara in Shavuos meant. But the etzem bris of arvus, to say that we have full arvus on a Gerim, that there is not true. That's what the Halachas Ketanos says. And the truth is, there's a tremendous machlokes in Achronim, whether or not Teichacha and arvus go hand in hand or not, whether there's a makom mechalek between them. Al mitzayin a few more makomos, and the Truvas Ginas Vrodim, he's medayik in the Loshon of the Rambam, in Hilchos Deos, that there is no mitzvah Teichacha on mitzvah Zaseh. There's only mitzvah Teichacha on mitzvah lasat seder. That's the diuk of the Ginas Avodim. And from here concludes that we see clearly that there's a difference between Teichoch and Arvis. As our Gemara's mashma, the bris of Arvis was on all the mitzvahs, including the mitzvahs asay, as we discussed earlier. Whereas the Rambam himself was mashma, that there is no minyan of Teichoch on mitzvahs asay, only on Afrusha Meisura on mitzvahs lasat seder. So he clearly is drawing a distinction between the mitzvah of Teichoch and the bris of Arvis. And it's the opposite of Gerim. In the case of Gerim, we're suggesting, based on Halachas Ketanos, that there is Teichocha, even though there is no Arvas. There, the Ginas Vrodim is finding an example of Mitzvah Asei, where the opposite is true, that there is Arvas, as Argamar is Mashma, and there is no Mitzvah Teichocha. But nonetheless, the point is that these two things are not Habataya. We can have circumstances, we can have categories of things which have one and not the other, as well in the Prima Godim. In that aforementioned Maramukam in Chakir Dalet and Teves Goma, he goes back and forth debating this question whether or not Arvas and Techacha are Haba Hatalia or not. There is a diak he makes from the Targum Unkelus in Parashat Kedoshim to be medayk that there is possibly two different inyan, and one inyan of Arvas, one inyan of Techacha. However, it is safe to be said that the balance of the Achronim, most of the Achronim, did hold, as we were medayk earlier, that Techacha and Arvas do go together. And they are dependent on each other, that wherever there is the Inyan of Teichocha, they're automatically followed the Bris of Arvis, and therefore, according to those Achronim, we will not be able to defend the Yesh Mefarshim, the Rashi and Tosfos quoted by Mimachalik between Teichocha and Arvis. However, the Halachas Ketanos seems to be saying that's good for the Machlokes, that Rashi and Tosfos held that we cannot draw a distinction between the two things, whereas this Yesh Mefarshim held that no, that Arvis and Teichocha are not Havatalia, and therefore, even if our Gemara is mashma that there is no bris of Arvas and Gerim, it could still be that the Gemara and Shavuos will tell us that we are held responsible for the maisim of Gerim where we're not mochiach them properly, and that's what the Gemara means when it says, Kashim Gerim Lisholkas Apachas, where we're not mochiach them properly. I'll add, I just see an interesting explanation why it would be that there would be a chilik between Arvas and Teichacha. First of all, the mitzvah of Teichacha was given at Sinai, it wasn't only given at Arvis Moav, and therefore there would be logic in suggesting that the mitzvah of Teichocha and the Inyan of Arvis are not Haba Hatalia. Moreover, we might say that with regard to Arvis, the Mekabel, the Bris of Arvis, as we'll see shortly, the Inyan of being Motzi others and mitzvahs, of being responsible for the mitzvahs of others, that might be what our Gemara is discussing, that the Kabbalah of Bris on each mitzvah befrat, as Tosfos says, all the Tariag mitzvahs, and our Gemara is about to master that way, that each mitzvah had its own Bris, that there isn't, that we don't have on Gerim. But the Klaliyistik Inyan of a Bris to be Mekabel, that we're held responsible for not Mochiach others, that it could very well make sense that everyone in Klaliyistik will be Nichol on that, as the Achronim and the Balei HaMachshava, Mefarish, that all Klai Yisrael is Kielu, like a Guf Echad with Evarim Shonim, we're all connected, we're all like one organic entity. And inasmuch as that's how we're constructed, that's how we're seen as by Hashem, so it makes sense that if we don't take pains to make sure that all the limbs of this Guf, all of the joints and all the parts that construe Klai Yisrael is doing what they're supposed to be doing, that the whole Guf should be held responsible to some extent, just like when one Aver is in pain, the entire Guf suffers. Similarly, when one of Klal Yisrael is not doing what it's supposed to be doing, the entire body of Klal Yisrael might suffer. So therefore, it might very well be that if we do not fulfill our responsibilities of Teichacha to even those who don't have the Bris of Arvas, we will be held responsible. But the etzem idea of being Mis'arev, that we could be Mekayim Mitzvahs on their behalf, we could be their Shliach, to be Motzi them, etc., as we'll see in the Hemshech, that they might not have, except on those people that the Argamar discusses, give the Bris of Arvas. So to sum up what we've seen until now, Argamar is Mashma, that the Bris of Arvas is only given to those who are counted in the population of the 603,550, the Rishonim, the Achronim, the Medayik. There are many people not included in this list, for example, Kohanim, Levim, Nashim, those under 20, and we discussed at length Gerim, Rashi and Tosis in Kiddushin and Anida, cited a beer in the memory of Chazal, Koshim Gerim Yisrael Kesapachas. It's because Kol Yisrael Rebim Zabazan Gerim and Gerim often aren't medaktik and mitzvahs up to the fullest degree. And Rashi and Tosis were docha this day from our Gemara that's mevor that there was no bris of Arvas and Gerim. We asked the Kasha from the Hashem Nachronim on Rashi and Tosfos in the name of the Marit and others from the Gemara in Shavuos and the Gemara in Yevamos, which is Mevor L'chor, there is a Bris of Arvas and Gerim. We brought the answer of the Marit that all it means is that we have Arvas for Gerim, but our Gemara is Mevor that there is no Arvas from Gerim to us, there's no two-sided Arvas, and we saw the Kasha that the Zer Avram asked And my rate is our Rav said that the Gemara in Shavuos did not mean this is a bris of Arvas, only that the Geirim were nichlal in the bris of Kima Mitzvahs, but not in the bris of Arvas. And as far as the defense of the Eishon Farshim, who explained the memra of Koshim Geirim Yisrael Kisapachas based on the Inyan of Arvas, that we saw based on the Halachas Ktanos, there will be a chilek between the Inyan of Teichocha that were held responsible for not being Mochiach Geirim when we're able to, as opposed to the bris of Arvas. We saw that there's the Medrach Macholus and Achronim, even though the Teves Gome and the Ginas Rodim had a tab like this, however, Menachem did not hold like this, there's a chilek between Arvas and Techacha. We explain perhaps the rationale why one would say this, and perhaps this is goof of the Machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos over there that we quoted and the Siyash of Farshim, whether or not Arvas and Techacha are codependent or whether they can be divorced. And therefore, even if our Gemara is before there is no Arvas for Geirim, perhaps we would still be held responsible for their Meisim as the other Gemaras were Mashma. Now, we'd also like to discuss the Inyan of Arvas on Mitzvos Derabbanan. As we mentioned until now, the Tosis and the Pasha of the Gemara was Mashma, that the Bris of Arvas is only said about the Taryag Mitzvos, and L'chor that number is Bedafka, not more. If that's the case, L'chor what should follow the Pashas of our Gemara is that there's no Inyan of Arvas on Mitzvos Derabbanan. And in fact, some Achronim do in fact say this Mefurish, for example, that Slach in Brachos Daf Mem Chesem Aleph makes this Diyak from our Gemara, and says, L'chor you see from our Gemara, there is no Inyan of Arvas, and there are abundance, and he explains it with a very interesting mahalach. He says, the Rambam says, in Hilchos Malva Volova, that if an Ariv is Mekabal on himself, an unknown obligation, he's undertaking to be a guarantor of something which is not clear what it's going to entail, it's not clear the quantity, or it's not clear the extent to which he has obligation to the person he's guaranteeing. Rambam says that Arvas is not chal. Says that Tzlach, the same thing is true for Drabbanon. How could Bnei Yisrael be expected to be mekabal on themselves the bris of Arvas and Drabbanon when they didn't know exactly what Drabbanon and the future Doros would be mechayev them? It's an unknown, open check type of obligation, which Rambam says is not chal. There is no such Arvas which is chal in Hilchos Malva Volova. And as well, says the Tzlach, the Inyan of Arvas here on Mitzvos as well could not have been chal on Drabbanon. That's what the Tzlach suggests as well. The Zera Avram, the aforementioned Maror Makom, quoted in the Birkei Yosef over there in Or Chaim Simchof Chav Dalet, as well goes with this. He says there is no Arvas on Mitzvos Derabbanan. Now, there are many temas which Achronim raise on such a mahalach. One is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which famously says, Af al pi sheyatza motzi, and it's discussing there also in Yonav Derabbanan, Brachos on Mitzvos, and as Rashi explains, the idea of Af al pi sheyatza motzi is based on Kol Yisrael Rim, Zebezeh, the Inyan of Arvas is what lies behind our ability to be motzi others, even though we've already been mekayem the mitzvah, because we still have the Inyan of Arvas to take care of. Therefore, we have the capability of being motzi others in the mitzvahs. And as well, we see from that Sigin Rosh Hashanah there that the Inyan of Arvas would have theoretically applied to Birchas Hanenin as well. You know, the Gemara in the end says that we do not say Af B'Shiyatza Motzi on Birchas Hanenin. That's only for a different reason, as Rashi there explains, because there is no chova for the person who is not having the Hanah to make the bracha now. But lulei that problem, l'chora it's mashri, would have said that there is an inyan of arvas and berachas hananin as well. It's only a drabbanan. So we see from the sugya in Rosh Hashanah that this inyan of arvas is said both with regard to berachas hamitzvos and berachas hananin, which the pashas are only drabbanan. So with regard to berachas hamitzvos, it's possible to suggest, and many achronim say this, the Prima Godim, as well as the Berkei Yosef there suggests, perhaps it's a chilek between a mitzvah which is completely drabbanan, as opposed to berachas hamitzvos, where the mitzvah itself is a deraisa. For example, tkiya shofar, which certainly is a deraisa, and obviously there would be arvas from one person to the next on the etzem mitzvah of tkiya shofar. In such a situation, it might be possible that Rabbanon could sneak in the bracha and say, well, the same way you're orei for the other fellow's mitzvah, you're also going to be orei for the other person's bracha and be able to put on top of the inyan of arvas and the brachas and mitzvahs as well. That's what some achronim suggest to defend this position that there is no arvas in Rabbanon from the inyan of af b'shiyatza motzi on brachas and mitzvahs. However, what's more difficult is to explain this with regard to brachas and nenin, which other than brachas and mazon, l'chora are completely derabbanan. As well as another tema, and that is that we know that in regards to Halel and also Mikra Megillah, which are l'chora only midrabbanon b'yisod, not like brachas hamitzvos, but they're l'gamri only midrabbanon, as well as inyan of yatsa motzi. And in fact, interestingly, that same Gemara in Shavuos that we discussed earlier in Neflam Etes, when it goes on, it gives an example of mitzvos asidos l'eschadesh. It says that there's a bris, there's a makabel at Arvas Moav, not only on the Inyanim Daraisa, but also all future mitzvahs which are going to be Nischaresh Kigon Mikra Megillah. That's the mamash, the example of the Gemara and Shavuos over there. It's Mavur L'Choy that there is a Pashas, an Inyan of Arvas, even on a Drabbanon, like Megillah, which be a soda Drabbanon. They're not like Berachos HaMitzvos, which are something added onto Daraisa, but they are be a soda Drabbanon. Now, if we say, like we quoted earlier from the Zera Avram, that the Gemara and Shavuos was not discussing the Bris of Arvas, what is only discussing the Etzem Ki, the Kabbalah to do the mitzvah, so then we could be Docha that Raya. We could say all the Gemara meant is that Bnei Yisrael were Kabbalah to do the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, but not to have the Inyan of Arvas in Mikra Megillah. However, as we mentioned, most Achronim did not learn the Gemara in Shavuos this way. They understood the Gemara meant the Bris of Arvas, and therefore, Lechor, there's a first in the Gemara that there would be an Inyan of Arvas, even with regard to the Rabbanon, such as Mikra Megillah, which is Bisoda the Rabbanon, which will be a Chora Kasha against Etzlach, and the Zera Avram. So some Achronim try to suggest perhaps there's a special takana that was made with regard to Megillah, as well Hallel, that allowed others to be Mekayim, to be Motzi, Asa Mitzvahs. The Inyan of Alf Pesh Yotza Motzi was said as a special takana, even though with regard to most Mitzvahs Drabbanon, that there would not be the possibility of Arvas. But Megillah and Hallel was said as a special takana, that there was a possibility of doing it Barabim, doing it Presume Nisa. Therefore, the allowance was made to have one person be motzi others. That's what some Achronim want to say. But again, L'chor, they won't answer. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, we quoted earlier, that sugya is L'chor, a strong raya, that even on Berachas Hanan there is Arvas, and even if there might be a way to be docha this raya, perhaps learn the Gemara, not like Rashi and other Rishonim there, and say that the Gemara there of Yatza Motzi is not based on Arvas, but the Pashtas, there would be a raya from that Gemara there that there is Arvas on Mitzvah Drabbanon. If that's the case, how do we understand our Gemara, which mentioned that the Arvas, the Bris of Arvas, was only on the Tariag Mitzvahs? So there is a idea suggested by the Birka Yosef in the aforementioned Maramokom. There he suggests, first of all, we know that the Inyan of Leisoser, that the Rabbanans are Mizramis to, in the midst of Leisoser, that we certainly come to the Rambam, was Mukhor Mashma, that they have the Tokef of the Daraisa, in theory, because there is the Inyan of listening to the Rabbanan. So therefore he says that Chelik of Leisoser, there could be Arvasan, that listening to be Mekayim, that which Rabbanan said, that Rabbanan would mitzava us, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, that we say Vitzivanu in Brachos, even on Mitzvahs Rabbanans, because of the Inyan of Leisoser. That might be enough to get us under the category of Arvas, to be have the halachas of Alf B'Shiyatza Motzi. That's one thing, the Brook Yosef says. Another thing he suggests is that perhaps we were Mekabal on ourselves the Inyan of Mitzvahs Rabbanan Bechlolos. In that respect, it's different than Daraisas. And Daraisas, as our Gemara's Mashma, there is a Kabbalah's Bris, and each mitzvah befrat, that there is a special Arvas that their Bnei Yisrael Mekabal themselves. With regard to the Rabbanans, which were Asitim Leschadesh, there was only a Klolistik of Kabbalah, that was the Bris that was expected to them, that they were expected to be Mekabal. And then, as the Rabbanan were Mechadesh, each and every mitzvah, as history went on, then that kicked in the Bris of Arvas, which Bnei Yisrael Mekabal Bechlolos on themselves prior at Arvas Moav. And that's what the Birka Yosef wants to read that Gemara in Shavuos that we quoted. When the Gemara there says, Mitzvahs Hasidus L'Schadesh, it means that there is a Klaliyistik Inyan of the future mitzvahs, which are going to be Miskabel, Aidei, the Rabbanon, that the Bnei Yisrael already Mekabel on themselves, be sowed the idea of Arvas on being Mekayim those mitzvahs in the future. You know, L'Chor, this is not like the idea of the Tzlach, who proved al-Pi the Rambam in Hilchos Mabul Balova, that an Arev does not have responsibility for a guarantee which is open-ended. The Ar Chokhman, the Rambam himself is mitzayin that the Ar Chokhman him, and it's not clear if we can compare exactly the dinim of Arvas to the dinim of Arev in Hilchos Mabul Balova. In any event, that's the conclusion of the Chida in the Birka Yosef, and as well in other Svarim that he authored, that there is a regular halach of Arvas on the Rabbanon, it's just that Ar Gemara does not count it as the Bris of Arvas because there wasn't a Kabbalah b'prat. There's only a Kabbalah b'chlal, but it was enough for that when the mitzvahs were in Nischadesh, they would have the inyonim of Yatza Motzi, etc. So to summarize our discussion here of Arvas and Mitzvahs Rabbanon, our Gemara L'Chora, as well as Tosis points out Mefurish, seems to be saying that there's only a Kabbalah Spris of Arvas on the Tariag Mitzvahs, which led some Achronim, including the Tzlach and the Zera Avram, to conclude that there is no Arvas on Mitzvahs Rabbanon. We raise several temas in such a position, one from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which is Mavur, according to Rashi and other Rishonim, that there is Arvas on Birchas HaMitzvahs. There we were Docha, Pisam Achronim, including the Prima Godim, and others, that with regard to a Berachas HaMitzvah on a mitzvah daraisa, then since there is arvus and etz HaMitzvah, there could also be arvus that would extend to the bracha. However, the Gemara, there's also mashma, according to the Rishonim, that on Berachas HaNenin, there is arvus, even though those are b'yisod d'rabbanon. And as well, we saw the Gemara in Shavuos makes reference that there is arvus on Mikra Megillah, even though there are those who suggested that Mikra Megillah is different because there's a special takana. But the pashas is that from these sugyas, we see there is arvus and mitzvah d'rabbanon. And now our Gemara seemed to exclude mitzvah d'rabbanon from arvus. We saw the Birka Yosef of the Chida. He answered with two mahalchim, first of all, that there is an inyan of lo sasser, especially according to the Rambam, which is kolo all of the drabanons, and that bris of arvus that we were makabel on ourselves in the midst of lo sasser was enough to extend and allow for arvus and drabanons. And secondly, it's possible that we're, even though we weren't makabel the bris of arvus befrat in every mitzvah drabanon, which was only osed leschadish, but the idea of having mitzvah drabanon, which would be neschadish in the future, that kabbalah we did have arvus on, it was included in the bris of arvus moav. That was enough, as each mitzvah d'rabbanon was eventually going to come back, going to be niskan adi d'rabbanon. At that point, the bris of arvus would kick in and allow us to have the halacha of afal b'shiyatza motzi. The Gemara towards the bottom of Amud Beis darshins a pasuk Parshas Re'eh to tell us that when Bnei Yisrael were mekabel all of the brisos at Har Gerizim and Har Eval, first they said the bracha upon all of the things they were mekabel the brisan. And then they said a klala. It's more darshan than the pasuk lahaktim bracha leklala. And it's before in the entire sugi here that it was clear that Bnei Yisrael were accepting upon themselves both a klala and a bracha, and the bracha was given precedence to be first. Now, there's a very obvious question which is in fact raised in the Truvas Radvaz, and that is that if we look in the pesukim in the Torah that describe what exactly Bnei Yisrael were mekabel lebris about at Har Gerizim and Har Eval, the pesukim in Parshas Kisavo. There, the Torah only mentions the klalos. It says 11 arurs, as Agmar mentioned earlier, that there are 11 curses given to various different avirus. And none of the brachas were mentioned, even though it's before in the Gemara that they were mekabel bracha. You've read it even in the Mishnah, back in the Nefilim Beis is before this way, that they were mekabel bracha on these things as well, that someone who stays away from these avirus receives a bracha. But the Torah only saw fit to record the klala, to record the arur that was said in conjunction with these avirus. And the question is why? If the brachas were said as part of the bris, and not only were they said, but they were said first, as our Gemara tells us. So why did the Torah only choose to record the psukim of the klalos, the aror that was said, and Bnei Yisrael said amen to those arors, and not say as well the brachas? That's the question which is asked, which was put to the Radvaz. And the Radvaz answers an interesting idea. He says that we only find in the Torah the inyan of bracha that relates to kol haTorah kula. We'll only see the Torah promising a bracha to someone who's mekayim all the mitzvahs, who does all of Hashem's ratzon to its fullest. And the reason for this is that it's not ra'i for someone to receive a bracha if he only does a mitzvah pratis. A person might think if he was given a bracha for mitzvah pratis that that's good enough. Once he has Birkas Hashem, he's good to go, he's set, he has the promise of Hashem that Hashem will give him blessing, give him good, and give him good welfare in his dealings. And it'll be enough for him to do that one mitzvah that upon which the bracha was promised. And therefore the Torah didn't want that a person should have this impression that a bracha is given for only one mitzvah. Rather, a person has to do all the mitzvahs to really be zochet to a bracha. A bracha is a davar klali, and therefore the Torah only wrote brachos in conjunction with doing all of the mitzvahs, doing all of the Ritzon Hashem. When it came to klalos, however, the Torah said wanted to, a person to know that averas are chamor, that in every single avera, a person is liable to receive a klala and receive an aror, and therefore he should stay away even from a single avera. And therefore, as a deterrent, the Torah chose that even on a single individual averas, it would write an aror, but it would not write bracha, except for the entire Torah, not to give the misimpression that a person can get away with simply doing one mitzvah and getting a bracha for it, and making a mistake that he doesn't need to do all of the other mitzvahs. The Radvaz adds that inasmuch as this maimed of Har Gerizim and Har Eval was very soon after they entered Eretz Yisrael, this maimed that they were mekabel upon themselves, the arurim, so the Torah also had an agenda to stress the arurim, the klalos, which were given in conjunction with these averos, as a threat, as a scare tactic to show Bnei Yisrael that Hashem means business. And he gives an example the same way when a child enters the classroom, we show him the stick and the strap that the teacher uses to threaten him as a deterrent. Similarly, when Israel entered Eretz Yisrael and it was time to really be mekabel the Torah, be mekayim all the mitzvos in their fullest sense, So Hashem wanted to show he meant business, and therefore he wanted to write down only the Urur and show that this was really a serious thing, even though there was as well a bracha as well given, that they had a bracha at Hagriz Menar Evil, but the thing that was written down, the Doros, the thing that was written down in the Torah in a written form, that was the klala to show them that Hashem was very serious. However, Hashem wanted to, at the end of the day, be posech lebracha, as our Gemara says, to be makdim, the bracha to the klala, so that they shouldn't be scared, they shouldn't be fearful that there's only klolos in the Torah. No, of course, there are brachas here, brachas are given even priority, but the Torah wanted to make sure that when Israel were not yazur daitam aleihem, they should have the proper fear, the proper emah, just like a child who comes into a classroom should know the teacher is in business. Similarly, when Israel came to Eretz Israel, they should know that Hashem is serious about keeping mitzvos, and therefore, even though there is all the bracha in the world in store for those who keep mitzvos, but one should know that if we do not keep the mitzvos, then we do face the consequences of
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.